Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. Here we are, brothers and sisters, between the glorious Feast of Easter and Pentecost, and we see the apostles, we see the disciples of the Lord just fanning out, spreading out, bringing the word of God to so many people. There were so many on fire. And yes, there were a lot of people who scoffed and ridiculed and tried to persecute them, but they wouldn't give up because they really knew the Lord and they knew his word was true. It is God's Holy Spirit, and we're going to be celebrating that feast soon. The coming of the Holy Spirit. God's Holy Spirit really does dwell in you. But because God gave you free will, he will never violate that. He will never take that away. He gives you the right to choose. But he's holding out to you life in the Holy Spirit that will enable you to follow God's word, God's way, with joy. Doesn't mean that it's always a piece of cake. Sometimes it's a hard walk. But he will give you his joy, his presence, his intimacy with you if you're willing to turn your life over to him. You know, the graces of baptism and confirmation can be like little boxes that sit on the shelf somewhere, and every once in a while we open the door and we look at the boxes and say, aren't they wonderful? But we don't open the boxes. We don't read the owner's manual. So how can we benefit from the gifts? We can't. So we need to seriously look at this. Is my heart open? Am I ready to be the disciple of Christ that baptism and confirmation prepared me for? Or are my gifts just sitting in there like little boxes and I pay no attention to them? I'm going to be saying much more on this in the coming weeks. For today, let's take a look at the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 15, verses 7 to 21. After much debate had taken place, remember now there were all of these apostles and disciples trying to come together. How do we bring the Gentiles into the church? Do they need to obey everything that we as Jews have done, what's required? And people had all kinds of ideas about that. Just like we do today. They had all kinds of ideas. So let's look at this. After much debate had taken place, Peter got up and said to the apostles and the presbyters, "My brothers, you are well aware that from early days God made his choice among you, that through my mouth the Gentiles would hear the word of the gospel and believe." So you've known that God sent me to the Gentiles. And so if God sends me, God has a purpose. And God, who knows the heart, bore witness by granting them the Holy Spirit just as he did us. He made no distinction between us and them, Jew and Gentile. For by faith he purified their hearts. Why then are you now putting God to test by placing on the shoulders of the disciples a yoke that neither our ancestors nor we have been able to bear? On the contrary, we believe that we are saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus. So we're not saved by works. We're saved by the grace of Jesus Christ. The works are an expression that the grace is with us. But it's not the works who save us. It's Jesus who saves us. We are saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus in the same way as they are. The whole assembly fell silent, and they listened while Paul and Barnabas described the signs and wonders God had worked among the Gentiles through them. After they had fallen asleep, James responded, "My brothers, listen to me. Simeon has described how God first concerned himself with acquiring from among the Gentiles a people for his own. The words of the prophets agree with this, as is written, 'After this I shall return and rebuild the fallen hut of David. From its ruins I shall rebuild it and raise it up again, so that the rest of humanity may seek out the Lord, even all the Gentiles on whom my name is invoked. Thus says the Lord, who accomplishes these things known from of old.'" So he quotes scripture to back him up, to support him in what he's trying to communicate to the people. It is my judgment, therefore, that we ought to stop troubling the Gentiles who turn to God, but tell them by letter to avoid pollution from idols, unlawful marriage, the meat of strangled animals, and blood. For Moses, for generations now, has had those who proclaim him in every town, as he has been read in the synagogues every Sabbath. So God is bringing his people together now, Jew and Gentile. And they had to walk through some murky fields or clouded water, whatever image you want to use. But it took some work to get there. But they did. And they did it by recalling what the prophets had told them. So do we need to do that. Proclaim God's marvelous deeds to all the nations. Proclaim God's marvelous deeds to all the nations, all of them. You know, there are nations that have not heard the gospel. We can all help that to happen by our prayer, by our intercession for all over the world. Certainly so much of the world is right at our kitchen table, so to speak, through the news these days. Right, the access to computers and so on that make the accessibility to news so startling compared even to one generation ago. Do you pray for those? Do you pray for your brothers and sisters who are suffering in different parts of the world for their faith? Do you hold them up? Proclaim God's marvelous deeds to all the nations. And the gospel today is the gospel of John, chapter 15, verses 9 to 11. Jesus said to his disciples, "As the Father loves me, so I also love you. As the Father loves me, so I also love you." Think about just that verse. In the same way that the Father loves me, I have loved you. Live in my love. Remain in my love. Abide in my love. Whatever the translation you have. Remain, live, abide in my love. Abide in that truth, which is a reality. It's not just a concept. It's a reality. As the Father has loved me, so I also love you. My goodness, I could do a year's programs on that one verse. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. The perfect Father who loves his Son. The perfection of the Son who loves the Father. And they're saying, as we love one another, so are you loved. You're loved. You're infinitely loved. You're priceless. You're infinitely precious to God. Don't judge by the world's standards. Judge by the gospel. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. That's why the commandments are so important, brothers and sisters. It's not so that we have a set of laws and if we obey them and check off our list, then we're going to get into heaven. It's by obeying the commandments that we come into his presence, because obedience to the commandments conforms us more and more to his image and likeness. That's our part. The work of the Holy Spirit is to bring us into union with God. But our part is to obey the commandments that conform us to him, that take on his priorities, his goals, and they're very practical. Don't live by the world's standards. Live by the truth of the gospel. Live by the commandments. And the commandments are not just a checklist, as I've often said, so that you get a good report card. The commandments are there so that you become like God. You take on God's priorities. In a certain way, you begin to think as God thinks. That's the work of the Holy Spirit to enable you to do that. You really are a temple of the Holy Spirit if you're in a state of grace. And if you're not in a state of grace, for heaven's sakes, go to confession now. this year of mercy, and you're going to hear a lot more about that. This year of mercy, what a time, brothers and sisters. This whole Easter season is a remarkable time for God to bring about conversion in your heart. Look down the Ten Commandments. Ask yourself if you're really living them. Ask yourself what you're going to do about it. Start with changing your life in one area, one commandment. Stay with one until you've got that a little more in order, and then move on to another. But the purpose of those commandments, again, is to conform you to Him so that you begin to look like your Father in heaven. Really? Really? Remember that prayer I've often quoted to you from Cardinal Newman. Shine in me and so be in me that all with whom I can contact may know thy presence in my soul. Let them look up and see no longer me, but only Jesus. That's not the fruit of this phrase we use today, positive thoughts. It's the result of saying to the Lord, I am your disciple, I am your son or daughter, give me grace to conform my life to your commandments. Every day pray that. Every day ask that. And God will do that. And the day will come, brothers and sisters, whether you see it or not, your life will become light in the darkness for others. That's what God wants. That's what it really means to be a disciple. It's not all the external show, though some of that needs to be there too. And I don't mean in the sense of false. But we need to do external things that are seen so that people can see what followers of Jesus do. But the heart of it is that we become like Him, that we don't just do His deeds, we become like Him. We're more and more conformed to Him. We look more and more in His image and likeness. And when we obey the commandments and allow our lives to be shaped by those priorities, people will begin to see. I don't necessarily mean with physical eyes, though sometimes that happens. But they will begin to see the image of Christ in you. They'll say, oh, when I'm around that person, I have such peace or such joy or such confidence. They'll express it in terms of a value, a good emotional expression of that love. They'll see it. They won't know quite what it means, but they'll see it. And they'll want it for themselves, and then you lead them to Christ. It really isn't complicated. Obey the Lord, follow His commandments. He will shine forth in you, and you will be able to bring many to Him. It honestly is that simple. Not easy, but it is simple. Brothers and sisters, open your heart that He may give you the greatest fruit, that you may love as you are loved. God bless you. Brothers and sisters, I have a new booklet on the mercy of God available to you. It is entitled The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings. I really urge you to read it. You can access it and receive it free by calling 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings. God bless you.